There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Your favorite college team schedule? It is far more of a minefield than you realize. No matter who your favorite team is, it is Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. How are y'all today? Where are y'all today? Wherever it is, maybe you're in Little Rock, Arkansas. What up, Little Rock? I'm glad you're here. Jackson, Mississippi, Jacksonville, Florida, anywhere in between, all the way up the Atlantic coast, Kentucky. Just draw a big circle. Boom. That's where we are every day. So I appreciate everybody coming in, getting a couple hours of college football conversation right here. I said that no matter who you root for, And I want everybody listening right now, just look down at the radio or the speaker or your computer, or whatever, just say who you root for. All right, everybody did that. Okay. I'm talking to you. Your team's schedule, far more of a minefield than you realize. We all know who Bill Connelly is. He has just a sterling reputation, doesn't he? And honestly, I don't know anything about him as a person. But I follow him on Twitter, and I read his work, and he strikes me as a very high-level thinker. Great with numbers, et cetera. And so Bill Connelly, ESPN. And I saw this on Twitter, maybe it was Saturday or Sunday. And he has updated, based on transfer portal and who's leaving and returning, et cetera, 2021 college football returning production, and this is as of the end of April, which programs out of the 130 that play Division I football, which programs have the highest percentage of returning production? So passing yards, receiving yards, rushing yards, the touchdowns, all of it, whatever. You come up with production, who has the most coming back? Now, I will tell you that if I spun the wheel right now and it landed on North Carolina State, I could tell you that North Carolina State, the percentage they have coming back. And by the way, NC State ranked 68 in America. I could tell you that Liberty ranks 15th and Middle Tennessee ranks 28th. So I could, any team in America, because of Bill Connelly, I have it in front of me. But before I start laying numbers on you, I want to tell you what the average returning production going into 2020 was. In 2019, in 2018, in 2017, the average from 2014 through 2020, basically any year where you didn't have the pandemic leading up to it, and then the phenomenon of super seniors, where any senior whose eligibility normally would have expired, well, that person can come back and play again. That wasn't available going into the 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, or 2020 seasons. The average for those seven seasons, the average percentage of returning production across your team, 62.6%. The national average for this one season going into the super senior 2021 college football season, 75.8. You're thinking, oh, well, that's noticeable. Yeah, do you know what it is? Can we put it in percentages? 20% higher. 20% more average production return for everybody. Which means if you're even at the low end of the list and Brigham Young and you're last, you have more than you would have. I'll get specifically to Brigham Young and the fact that they finished dead last, there's a point. Northwestern, second to last. South Carolina, third to last. Above South Carolina, fourth to last. Ohio State, fifth from the bottom. Notre Dame, sixth from Tennessee, Stanford, Alabama, Duke, Florida. Those are a lot of haves, aren't there? All right, now one thing about BYU, do you know why BYU would be less affected than this than maybe anyone else? I mean, literally, anybody else in America, and by the way, we take out the three service academies because they don't have super seniors, so they're not going to be affected by this. But do you know why BYU, it would be, if you would have said, Chuck, of the 127 schools that will be affected by this, which one do you think will be affected? If I would have thought about this, and I didn't think about it until I actually saw it was BYU, folks, they got a roster full of 22, 23, 24, 25-year-olds anyway. Normally, and again, I'm going on something I saw a few years ago, okay, but I don't know that it's changed. At least half that roster has gone on a two-year mission. And if you redshirt on top of that, and then maybe have another suit. So you can see how there's it's an older roster anyway. But I started from the bottom, last place with Brigham Young, and started working my way last, second to last. BYU, Northwestern, South Carolina, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Tennessee, Stanford, Alabama, Florida. All right, let's look over at the 10 that have, those have the least amount returning. Normal season, 62%. This season, 76%. 20% more. And all of these schools are well below that average. That means there must be some schools above it. Toledo, number one in America in college football in returning production, 98% of every yard, touchdown, reception, tackle, pick, everything. 98% of it is coming back for Toledo. Wyoming, 95%. Louisiana Lafayette, 94%. FAU, Nevada, Troy, Central Michigan, UCLA. Eastern Michigan, Georgia State, East Carolina, San Jose, UT San Antonio. I gave you the top 13 there. Did we notice a common thread working its way through the top 13? Let's go over the bottom seven again. I think it's seven, maybe eight. Florida, Bama, Stanford, Tennessee, Notre Dame, Ohio State, South Carolina, Northwestern, BYU. The 13 schools with the most returning. Toledo, Wyoming, Louisiana, Lafayette, FAU, Nevada, Troy, Central Michigan, UCLA, Eastern Michigan, Georgia State, East Carolina, San Jose, UT San Antonio. This was entirely predictable. And it wouldn't have mattered even if someone thought of it. The predictable part is if you have super seniors coming back, you have more of a chance to have returning production. Duh. Well, who's more like? So that's not a variable. Can everyone have super seniors? Yes. So the value from having super seniors on your roster, that's a player whose eligibility should have expired in 2020, but they get an extra season. The value is that you have more returning production. Yes, all right. If that's for everybody, that's not the variable. The variable is, okay, how likely is an individual program to have sixth-year seniors? Or for a kid who never had a redshirt, a fifth-year senior. I got to tell you, Toledo, Wyoming, and Louisiana Lafayette, they're way more likely to have a kid who's played 4 or 5 years go, yeah, I'll hang around for one more season, than somebody who signed to play at Notre Dame, Ohio State, or Alabama. Folks, those kids don't hang around for their fourth year in so many cases. And so I ain't criticizing the system. But if you look at the top 13 returning production, 12 of them are group of five program. it's easy to see how there would be far fewer super seniors at Ohio State, Bama, Notre Dame, UF, etc., than those 12. All that means is that the one equalizer in college football that I talk about, the one equalizer, when I have a 22 or 23-year-old who can put his hands on an 18 or 19-year-old, yeah, advantage me. And I don't much care how many stars your stud recruit showed up with last month in August when he got initiated into college football. Me, I've been playing since 2016. And this kid just showed up with his five stars. Folks, this is a specific reason. Do you remember about a month ago I talked about how transfers from Group of Five to Power Five and even specifically the Southeastern Conference, do you know the one position where they're more successful than any other? And it ain't even close. Offensive lineman. Tyler Catalina came from Rhode Island, started at Let. Now, Georgia wasn't great in 2016. Whatever. It's Georgia, and that's the SEC, and that kid showed up from Rhode Island and started at left tackle. Do you know how? He was 23 years old, and he's a grown man. So no matter how many stars you had as a stud freshman, four-star, five-star, Florida, Tennessee, South Carolina player, I've been doing this for a while. I'm married. I have a full beard. I have a family. Wife and two kids in the stands. I don't know anything about Tyler Catalina. Was it Mason Halter from Fordham that went down to Florida? Now, he started at right tackle. I don't care. Started right tackle in the SEC. The kid from Casey Dunn from Jacksonville State. He started at Auburn. You don't get that story at running back or corner or middle linebacker. You get it all the time on the offensive line. The reason? The physical growing up and maturing that has occurred over the four or five seasons the super senior has been in the program. They're 23-year-old grown men playing against elite, but not physically developed youngins. And so when you look at schedules all around America this year, Missouri, have fun opening with Central Michigan. Illinois, you're looking for a couple of easy wins, UT San Antonio and Charlotte. Oklahoma State, you know what? Let's ease into the season. Missouri State, Tulsa, and Boise. They could be 1-2 easily. No matter who you root for, because of this one-year dynamic, your team schedule way more of a minefield than any of us are considering.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
College football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I always take offense. Like, everybody's going to say, oh, wow, they got to replace five more guys on defense to the draft. You know, who's next? You know what I mean? I love that challenge. Yeah. You know, and nobody ever talks about us in the preseason, but they seem to talk about us in the postseason. That's the way I like it.
Guy that I am really fond of in the Southeastern Conference, that is Mark Stoops. And he's talking on SiriusXM saying that the program deserves respect. And here's the truth, and I will feed into this. If you dropped him in the room of truth, what is it? Wonder Woman got that lasso, right? Makes you tell the truth, yeah. Put that lasso on him. Mark, are you a program right now that outside of the two lines of scrimmage, and I'll give him credit, but outside the two lines of scrimmage, if you lose a Sunday guy, are you a program who replaces him the very next season? He would say, no, we're not. Now, on the line, that's a little different. And they've actually spent money to retain the coaches slash recruiters, but the coaches as well. They've done a good job, man, and it's been intentional. It has been with intent, I'm saying. It was purposeful that this is how we're going to build, and it's kind of taken on sort of his personality. And here's the challenge, though. His personality, he wants to win – well – he wants to win, you know, 2-0 or 50-49. I know what it is. You know, Ralph Friedgen, he didn't care. And you know, Bob Stoops didn't care. And Steve Spurrier didn't necessarily care. Nick Saban doesn't care. Nick Saban really doesn't care. But he has a comfort level, I believe, in like 24-20. And he's got to get outside that comfort. He's got to push those walls, man. 24-20 is not what it's about. It is what it's about in September. When you're one and you're two and even your threes, it kind of looks like it's supposed to. It's early in the season. You hadn't had injuries. You hadn't had to move a tackle into guard and then start your backup. Hadn't done any of that garbage yet. And so it works in September. And it gets harder to work as the season goes along. And so you need some shiny, sparkly things. You need that Staples button, all right? You do. And if you have a dynamic quarterback and, again, some more wide-open play calling, which Eddie Grant can call any sort of offense, but I mean, he won't be calling anything now, but he could have called any. It was just time to move on and have a new voice, I guess. But you've got to have some giddy up to you. I've told you that the 85 Oklahoma Sooners, the last team in Division I, to lead the nation in rushing defense, passing defense, total defense, and scoring defense. They're just brick wall, man. And those days of a team giving up like 7 or 8 or 9 points a game or having 5 shutouts over the course of a season, it's not what it is. Part of it is because what did Oklahoma do to help themselves? Believe me, they had all-time great defenses. They also would have 75 or 80 rushing attempts on a Saturday. And so when you just bleed the clock, beat on the opponent physically, and they realize, wait a minute, it's the middle of the third quarter. We've had 3 possessions. How did this happen? Then it's predictable and they have to throw the ball. So it all fed into it. And when you had that kind of talent and that approach, it worked. Well, it didn't work anymore, and that's not the approach. So got to really push those walls offensively. And that is really the last challenge for Kentucky to make that next step where maybe they're a little bit more than a 7 or 8 win program every single year. Dan, what's up?
That's part of why Liam Cohen is there. I mean, he is there for that very reason. Like you said, they were doing what he wanted to do offensively, but I think he finally looked in the mirror and said, yeah, this doesn't work anymore. I cannot win this way, because soon enough, even with the draft success and everything else, you're going to have people who say, hey, you know what? It would be nice to go to Atlanta other than to watch this team play in the SEC basketball tournament or to see them play in the NCAA tournament. It'd be nice to actually be able to lay claim to something else as well. So I think that's all part of it. Chuck, this is the second time now that we've seen a new coaching staff in the SEC kind of commit what many people on social media would believe is a cardinal sin, and that is your alma mater, Auburn, putting out a graphic yesterday laying out the accomplishments of the new coaching staff they have there. Derek Mason, Brian Harsin, Mike Bobo, on down the line. And a lot of them were crossovers from Bobo's time at Georgia. So, of course, social media did what social media does and was starting to, as the kids say, ratio them of, oh, so you're the Auburn Bulldogs now? But now I get what they're saying is they're kind of unintentionally saying, hey, we'll take it in the shorts right now, because guess what? You can say whatever you want about us. It's still true. Our guys still coach those guys.
Yeah, you know, I assume that if Georgia put out the equivalent for Kirby, he'd talk about a bunch of national championships that he got somewhere other than Georgia. Not a big deal, but that's also, even from my standpoint, I'm saying not a big deal. Fans, it's May. Y'all have fun. It's good.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community, because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation, to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show, and Kansas done got themselves a head football coach. And they took a minute getting to it. There was no rush. In fact, we talked 7 days ago with Dave Bartu from CFB Matrix that with spring practice being completed, if they weren't going to get it done then, if they didn't get it done with anything to do with recruiting, there was no urgency. Well, they have hired Lance Leipold from Buffalo, which now means that the Bulls head coaching position is, I believe, the only one open in college football, whether Power 5 or Group of 5. I want to welcome on again from CFB Matrix. It is Dave Bartu. Dave, how are you today?
Hey, good morning, boss. I'm doing darn good. Actually, it's afternoon out there for you now already. It's just sun's just coming up over here.
Tell me what you've been busy with. Who's been calling post-draft? I know that you were busy, obviously, consulting leading up to that. What's going on?
Oh, it's nice and quiet, right? It's nice and quiet, but it's work time. The big thing right now is working on recruiting analytics, the transfer portal, and stuff like that, specifically some new projects that have to do with recruiting and working actually on a fundraising project for an athletic director right now as well to streamline fundraising and make it more effective. But for the most part, phone ringing, it's nice and quiet right now and gives a chance to kind of reset and get caught up on a few things.
So it can be players, agents, coaches, ADs, boosters, board of regents, folks. If you're dealing with college football, the athletics end of it, whether it's on the field or behind the scenes, Dave's got a little something for everybody. Just tell everybody quickly how to get in touch with you if they need to, and we'll move on and get to the fun stuff.
As you know, Twitter, CFB Matrix, I mean, the direct message line is open, or like I normally do, give me a call, send me a text. Heck, even if you're listening right now and you just want to text me something, knock yourself out, 503-504-8710.
All right, so Lance Leipold, and I'm going to tell you, if it was sight unseen and I didn't even know anything, like if ISIS is putting together a college football program and I'm making $474,000 in Buffalo, New York, and I get an offer of $2.2 million in the first year, I'm going, man. I don't even know. Like, do you want to ask us about facilities? I don't care if you have facilities. That's me thinking as someone who can, like, make five or six times my salary in a one-year jump. Obviously, that's part of it, but it's more than that with Lance Leipold because he would have other options coming down the road as well. Tell me what your download of this hire is.
What's interesting is I think the 2.2. Right. It kind of tells me there might have been a few guys turning this thing down for money and they had to up the ante, because I think Kansas, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Kansas is paying, with Leipold on the books right now, I think they're paying five head coaches right now.
Charlie Turner.
Charlie's still on the books. Beatty's still on the books. The guy in between them still on the books. So it's at least four head coaches that they're still paying right now. So, you know, $2.2 million to go to Kansas, a program that has only had two good head coaches and they fired both of them, is pretty tough. But as you and I talked about, college football isn't any different than life. Money drives everything. And if you offer enough, yeah.
I was going to say $2.2 million, that, I'm not trying to be funny. That's like a rounding error for some SEC football programs.
Oh, well, that's isn't that what they paid Bo Pelini for 1 year at LSU?
And they paid him more to go away.
Right? So, you know, it's kind of all relative. But I don't blame the guy for making the jump, you know, and even if it doesn't work out, He's made generational money. His family's good. Fine. Done. Game over.
Do you have any opinion about how his success? He's had success at Buffalo relative to Buffalo. Do you have any idea how the profile of Lance Leipold will translate to Kansas?
How it will translate to Kansas? No. But if you look at the track record of the guy, okay, his last two stops, he was at FCS, did phenomenal. He's at Buffalo. He has done phenomenal. There is no reason for me to doubt that this is not a very good, if not a great hire. And the potential is there. What I do like about it is because of that track record of coaching success. And I mean coaching, not recruiting, coaching success. The Big 12 is really driven by coaching as much as anything. Some of these other conferences are more driven by talent. But with the Big 12, you only have two top 25, top 30 recruiters out of 10 programs. So there's a lot of opportunity there for guys to get coached up. So I am really optimistic about the hire. Now, whether it works out or not, that remains to be seen. But in terms of acquisition risk and the ceiling of potential and how low his floor is, which isn't a low floor because he's done so well year after year, I got a hard time figuring out how Kansas could have maybe come up with a better hire. This had to be top three on their list. It was certainly top three in ours, even though we weren't working with Kansas. I like it a lot.
You just said something there, and there was smoke coming off my fingers. The difference between coaching success and recruiting success. And you said, the brother wasn't, winning at Buffalo because he was getting a bunch of four stars. He was getting – and that's one thing that I talked about yesterday, actually, is that what intrigues me is because when you're the coach at Buffalo or Miami of Ohio or Akron or whatever – just about every Saturday, the other guys across the line, they kind of look like your guys. That ain't true in the Big 12. Those Oklahoma players, they look really big and fast. And so it obviously has been coaching up to this point. Now it's got to be recruiting or you're going to get trampled.
For the most part, when you're talking about your elite recruiters, yes. But outside of Oklahoma and Texas – who else has big size? I mean, the Big 12, man for man, height and weight has been the smallest Power 5 conference for over a decade.
Oh, the NFL told us that the other night.
They've been telling us that for a long time. I remember when I did that little research paper. Remember when Bielema and Saban were all complaining and being a bunch of babies about pace of play?
Oh, we're going to have players dropping dead on the field.
Oh, yeah, because it's so many plays. And then so I did the research. I did a 10-year profile on starts lost to injury in relation to number of snaps. And the SEC had the greatest number of starts lost per snap. And then number two was the Big Ten. And number three was the ACC, Pac-12, and then the Big 12. And so it also, and maybe this has nothing to do with it, but my theory was simply size and weight. Okay, SEC has the biggest guys. They hit the hardest because, the speed, that's going to cause more injuries. So it should come as no surprise that the SEC not only had the highest injury per snap, they also had the biggest weight per guy. And then number two was the Big Ten. It's all size. So the Big 12 really is your little guy conference. That's what it is. And outside of Texas and Oklahoma, I do think it's more coaching than recruiting.
All right. You have said that what warms your heart more than anything is when you hear that, all right, people are thinking now. I am going to expect, and I'll go do some deep dives here, that when I look and see how many top 25, top 30 recruiters are in a conference, I'm going to imagine that there is you can finish wherever you finish in your conference standings because that can be apples to apples for what you're saying for the most part recruiting in the Big 12. But to land in the national top 25 rankings, I'm going to assume that there is a direct correlation between how many top 25, 30 recruiters you have in a conference and how many of those programs land in the final just general rankings top 25.
I don't know that off the top of my head.
I don't either, but that's the bias that I'm going to go in with.
Well, no, I don't think that's the correct bias. I think you need to look at because, for example, in the Big 12, all right, we have two top 25 recruiters. But the thing is with the Big 12 is they all play each other. And so you can be a number 31. So for example, Oklahoma State, number 42 recruiter in the country. All right. If they go 9-3 playing a Big 12 schedule, they're top 25, right?
Should be. Yeah.
Should be. Okay. But, and that's realistic. It's realistic to say, hey, the fourth best recruiter in this conference, even though they're 43rd in the country, they're number four in this conference, they can finish 9-3 and be in the top 25. Now you go over to the SEC West, okay? Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State are all top 30 recruiters. They all out-recruit Oklahoma State. But what are the odds of any one of those three in a given year finishing 9-3 in the top 25?
Remote.
So your ability – being in the top 25 is relative to your win-loss record within your conference. So to me, when I look at an Oklahoma State, you can go, oh, they're the number 43rd recruiter, but they're top 25 because they're 9-3. But their relative position compared to everybody else, they're actually the number four recruiter in that conference. So you need to compare them to the other number four recruiters.
You know,
okay?
I think what I'm kind of what's stuck in the back of my brain is that, you know, I've seen like a four-loss Texas A&M kind of get the benefit of the doubt at the end of the season, whereas you have like a two or maybe a three-loss team out of the ACC Coastal, for instance, with like Duke wins the Coastal and is going to a New Year's Six Bowl to play Texas A&M, and there was no respect from voters at all for Duke. And I'm wondering about the inherent bias of not only conferences, but also specific divisions in conferences, like the SEC West in a good way, or the ACC Coastal maybe in the other way.
Well, the SEC, I mean, and this has been kind of a you can call it a bias. I just call it the best recruiting division in college football. The SEC West, definitely. If you have four losses, so if you take an 8-4 team out of the SEC, specifically the SEC West, and you put them up against any 8-4 team in the country, okay, whether it's from the Pac-12, the Big 12, Big 10, ACC, that four-loss SEC team is going to be the first one in the top 25. If there's space, if you get to the end of the ledger and they're all out of 9-3 teams, that first team, you know, if there's one space at the end, there's 18 8-4 teams, and there is one top 25 space right there at the end, the 8-4 teams, you start with the SEC teams. They always get that, and I get it. Their schedules are tougher. They play a tougher schedule. They have more talent in that division or in that conference.
Oh, yeah.
But that it has been that way for over a decade. You can simply pencil that 8-4 team in there if there's room.
All right, brain, bubbling, melting, doing all kinds of stuff right now. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and do more of that stuff with Dave Bartu from College Football Matrix.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
King of College Football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app.
Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All year, it's all college football with the Chuck Oliver Show. It is a Tuesday, and it's hour one, so we're talking with Dave Bartu from College Football Matrix. Dave, one quick word about the Buffalo Bulls open job. If I say Phil Longo, do you have an opinion?
Ooh, beneath him?
That's he'll have better options. Okay.
Yeah, I believe he will have better. I believe he should have better options. This is an offensive college football we have right now. People are really focused on OCs, and look what that guy has done everywhere he's been. You know, from Sam Houston State, he turned around. I mean, he had great numbers at Ole Miss for the 1 year.
Yards and
look
points.
What he's doing at North Carolina,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, it is go, go, go. I think he is one of the biggest underrated, not talked about names in college football, and I absolutely expect him to be at a place bigger and better than Buffalo this time next year.
All right, let's now that we have, because a year ago I was asking you about the coaching changes and leading into 2020 season. Well, we've had the entire year, albeit with the backdrop of a pandemic. We have an entire year now to kind of evaluate. Let's go back in time, and there are plenty of things that I'm off on, just like everybody, but I thought it was an odd hire for Colorado State to bring in Steve Addazio. He's basically a 500 career coach with one set way of coaching offense, and he had never coached further west than Notre Dame. I just thought it was an odd fit. What was your take at the time, and has anything changed in the past 365?
Nothing much has changed. I think it's really hard to evaluate any coach on the West Coast this year and with such a limited number of games. The hire itself, I guess my concern with it was simply the word was Colorado State asked Urban Meyer and he recommended his coaching tree guys and that was it. So, you know, to me, that's kind of not really how I would want to do a search. Now, Addazio, even though he's a 500 coach, he has been at places that it's hard to get to 500 to. Okay. I mean, he's overperformed the talent where he's been at. The problem that I see, though, with Addazio, so the plus side, I think he's going to overperform the talent at Colorado State. I think it's an upgrade from where they were before, and I do believe they are going to do above average with him. But the concern that you have to have at Colorado State is regression of recruiting. He is not a good recruiter. Temple's recruiting was flat or below their normal average. BC, flat or below their normal average. So while he does coach up the talent, I think he's a really good head coach. I think he's a good game coach. But where he really lacks is the ability to, I don't know, hire, motivate, find recruiters on his staff and focus on it. So to me, it's kind of a mixed bag. I can see the upside to it. But at the same time, if there's going to be a downside, watch the recruiting regress at Colorado State.
All right. You know, in the NFL, there are so many quarterbacks that I can look at their numbers and see really impressive seasons or statistics. But then I watch like Nick Foles or Andy Dalton. I'm like, they stink. I know that. They do, no matter what the numbers say. I have kind of the opposite in college coaching because Brady Hoke has been fired from four straight jobs. And I still look at him and go, he's a pretty good coach. Give me your breakdown on Brady Hoke because he was pretty good last year at San Diego State, I believe.
Yeah, that's something. Let's grain of salt that one, though, buddy. You know, because he was replacing a longtime head coach there, Rocky Long, who had done a phenomenal job at San Diego State, especially defensively. So always tell people, be really wary of the guy who takes over for a really good head coach. And I think Rocky Long was a really good head coach. I think he was an exceptional defensive head coach. So that first year, Look, Hoke has had a decent run of things before Michigan. Michigan seems to break everybody at some point that goes through that system. But he, you know, his defense at Oregon wasn't good. I didn't like the hire. I still don't like the hire. And in spite of them having a really good year this past football season, I am still willing to bet that it was more residual from Rocky Long than influenced by Brady Hoke.
Maybe some a similarity to Scott Frost, Josh Heupel.
Drinkowitz and Satterfield. You know, beware the guy. And I learned this right in my backyard. Okay.
Oh, Helfrich.
Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly left, and Helfrich had him in the national title the next year, and they extended him immediately. And then guess what? Tires came off.
Yeah, Larry Coker is probably the example everybody's going to use, and for good reason.
Right, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
It's not one example. It's not two examples. There is a pattern of examples. So while Brady may have things turned around and figured out, I am still going to say it is more Rocky Long than Brady Hoke right now. Wait and see year two and year three.
Last guy I want to ask you about, we just got a couple of minutes left here. Mark Stoops, I commented earlier in the program about the success that he has at Kentucky and where the program is. And I also have an idea that, like, the worst thing that he could do is, like, win the East. Because I doubt that even in a random year and a random 3 hours on a Saturday, they're going to be – I mean, they're just not a program that beats Alabama, for instance, or a great LSU team. I think that this is one of the best marriages between coach and program and ambition and what's realistic. I think that this literally could be another 10 years with Stoops in Kentucky.
All right, because he's doing average. That's what he's doing. He's an above-average recruiter. Development at Kentucky isn't great. Bottom three in terms of draft picks to recruiting ratio rankings over the last 7 years. So from developing NFL talent, it's not there. But the win losses, he wins what he's supposed to win. He loses when he's supposed to lose. And I guess maybe this is a product of being a super basketball school. As long as you aren't rocking the boat and being really bad, you can hang on. He's improved the recruiting. You know, over the last four years, number 33 in the country. They were in the 40s before he got there. So he's a good recruiter and an average head coach. He just – what he's really not good at is hiring offensive and defensive coordinators. I think that's the big difference here between Kentucky 6-6, 7-5, and him hanging on to his job and doing just enough versus being a threat and a pain in the butt, and a team that could go 9-3 and be in the top 25 every once in a while. It's offensive and defensive coordinator hires. He's been really poor at it for whatever reason. He keeps using the same system, and it keeps failing him. That, to me, is the big difference. When he sits down and evaluates what he's doing and trying to identify offensive and defensive coordinators, and I know this because I do this every week with head coaches, athletic directors, you name it. This is really the big thing here. I think if he sat down and looked at how he's doing it and how he could be doing it, if he changes that hiring, firing process, just those two positions, OC and DC, I think Kentucky would go from they're pretty good to, wow, that is a pain in the butt team to play every week.
Dave Bartu from College Football Matrix. Do it again in 7 days, man.
Peace. Thank
you. Dave Bartu again, College Football Matrix, every Tuesday, bottom of hour one through the top of the segment.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.